This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The next time you're in downtown Detroit and you walk by Cobo Center or the People Mover, or you're in Ypsilanti and you see Washtenaw Community College, or maybe you're in Southfield and you see Providence Hospital or so many other buildings around Southeast Michigan, too numerous to list here, stop for a moment and remember this name, Charles Novacek. He was born in what was then Czechoslovakia, and he grew up through his country's occupation by the Nazis and then the Communists. He began training as a resistance fighter as a boy of 11, and he continued the fight as he grew to manhood. He endured prison and torture under the Communists before escaping to a refugee camp and then ultimately to a new life in Michigan. Charles Novacek became a noted engineer in Michigan, working on many projects that still stand today. And before he died in 2007, he wrote a memoir entitled Border Crossings, Coming of Age in the Czech Resistance. That book has now been published by Charles Novacek's wife, Sandra, and it is such a pleasure to welcome Sandra Novacek to Stateside. Good to have you with us, Sandra.
Oh, thank you, Cynthia.
There really are two very remarkable stories here. First, your late husband's life as a resistance fighter against the Nazis and then the communist regime in his homeland. But there's also the stories of how you pushed through and came to publish his memoir to ensure that his story will live on. And I want to start there. You two met in the mid-90s.
We did. We met in 1996.
And this was long after his harrowing life in what was then Czechoslovakia, and his wife Valentina had died 2 years earlier?
Correct. Yes.
So you met, and when did you become aware that he had had such an incredible youth?
Well, I heard a little bit about it when a matchmaker was sent to me. I was the director of a small library in Heartland, Michigan. And one of my library patrons ended up being Charles' art teacher. And a friend of hers was also a Heartland art teacher. And they had talked to Charles after 2 years after his wife had died. And, you know, he said he really wanted to, you know, start a new relationship. And so the Heartland High School art teacher came over to my building. And she said, Sandy, I want to introduce you to this wonderful man. And she started telling me a little bit about his life, that he was involved in the resistance during World War II. And, you know, he escaped and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. She didn't tell me too much, but that's when I first heard about it.
So you clicked. And as he writes about meeting you, it really was a wonderful new chapter in his life. Where you know, he wasn't lonely, and it was really a great, not quite a, well, about a little about a, over a decade that you had together.
Mm-hmm. That's right, almost 11 years.
And what about the book? How had he written it? Was he writing it? Did you help him write it?
Well, you know, I think in the back of his mind, he always knew that he was going to be writing this book. That's one of the reasons that when he retired, he decided to go back to school, because then he did go to the University of Michigan Dearborn. He got 2 degrees there, and he always took writing classes because he wanted to perfect his writing. And so he kept working at it. And oftentimes when he would have a class assignment, he would write about a little segment or a little vignette about a segment of his life. And, you know, oftentimes it was the experiences he had on the Czech resistance. And so by the time I met him, he had, you know, he had a few chapters put together. But he didn't officially start working on the book until the year 2000. And I helped him, but, you know, he was pretty independent. And I always read things and I'd comment on them. But I think he usually won out.
You were his sounding board, if it will.
Yeah.
And Charles started as such a youngster when he entered the resistance. Why did he start training at such an early age with the Czech resistance?
You know, he actually started early in his life. His father was in World War I. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a Czech legionnaire. And, of course, his father said, you read that in the book, you know, that was the last war, as many other people said, you know, the war to end all wars.
Right.
And but, you know, I think in the back of his mind, his dad didn't really believe that. And so Charles had an older sister, and the parents both taught their children survival skills early on, taught them how to forage for food. And they were doing all that, you know, at 3, 5, 6, 7 years old. But Charles' uncle, Joseph Robotka, was a very high-level military figure in the country. And he had a lot of, insight into the activities that were going on, and he knew what was happening with the Nazis and so on.
He could see the storm clouds getting darker and darker.
Exactly. And, of course, he was very close to Charles' father. And when, you know, word got out when the Nazis actually occupied the country, Charles' uncle and Charles' father were not going to put up with that because they had enjoyed the wonderful democracy that had actually formed in their country in 1918. And they were so happy about that. And there was no way that they were going to stand for the Nazis coming into the country. So Uncle Joseph, with all of his connections and his power, got Charles' father into it. And Charles' father just decided that his whole family had to become involved.
So when Charles was how old? How old was he as he really actually began
He was actually 11. The country, the Munich Agreement was actually in 1938. And that's when the first things really started to look bad. And it's kind of like what you've heard, on the news recently, where even Hillary Clinton was comparing what's going on in Ukraine to the occupation of Czechoslovakia in 1938, because it was really pretty scary.
And I think for a lot of the readers, people will be familiar with stories of life under Nazi occupation. Mm-hmm. We've seen movies.
Yeah.
We have read books. And he was right in the middle of it, right to the very end. And, of course, their prayer was the end of the war, we'll get the Germans out, and then literally from the frying pan into the fire, in came the Soviets and the communist regime. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you, if you could read an excerpt for us, because here he did. He began as a resistance fighter against the communists, and the Germans didn't snatch him up, but the communists got him in Prague. Ironically, he was just strolling around the city center at lunchtime. So if you'd read us an excerpt from the book after the Soviets, after the communist regime grabbed him.
Okay, the heading above it says, mid-July 1948, prison somewhere in Bohemia. The stench of excrement and condensation dripping from rocky walls made the small cubicle feel like a medieval dungeon. I was not a heretic, yet they tortured and beat me every day. Their shouts echoed, ringing in my 20-year-old ears. Who are you working for? When they were through with me, I couldn't walk, so they dragged me by my feet from the first floor interrogation room down the stone stairs. My head bounced hard on each step, making it ache with numb, buzzing pain. Then they dumped me onto a cold floor in a tiny cell. I felt the reverberation as they slammed the rusty steel door. I began to lose track of time, but I didn't lose the hope of wearing out the nameless bastards. It occurred to me that they may have been remnants of the Gestapo or the Schutzstaffel SS. These men, new Czech communist recruits, passionately executed the orders of their chiefs and seemingly enjoyed every minute of it.
That's Sandra Novacek reading from her husband Charles Novacek's memoir, which is called Border Crossings, Coming of Age in the Czech Resistance. And he does escape. He was truly, I'm sure, at the brink of being eliminated by the communists, and he was able to escape, went on to escape to South America, and then eventually made his way to Michigan, where he had a more than three-decade career as an engineer. What brought him to Michigan?
Well, actually, what brought him here was Valentina, his wife. She was also a refugee, actually, from Latvia. And she had stayed back in Europe to finish her medical degree. She actually was a dentist. But her family, her mother and her father and her brother, had come to Michigan, and they were in Detroit. And so that was their goal, to get with Charles' family, or with Valentina's family.
So they came to Southeast Michigan. And how did he come to feel about this new corner of the world that he called home, Southeast Michigan?
Well, I think he was really excited. And I, kind of go back to his childhood, when his father would tell him stories about how their country of Czechoslovakia was formed. And, of course, he heard cowboy stories, too. And but he, the whole idea of the democracy and the freedom and, the immigrating to the place where he could realize the American dream. I mean, that was exciting to him. However, he was very scared because he didn't know a word of English. And so here he was, like so many immigrants. He's very, very intelligent, very well, educated. And yet, he seems like a dummy.
Yes, because he had no English.
No one understood him. So it was really difficult at first.
So he learned his English. Yeah. He became a professional engineer. And he even recounts in Border Crossings watching his father, when Charles was a little boy, watching his father rebuild a bridge that had washed out, and that he was so fascinated with that. And he remembered that as he, many, many years later, built the People Mover. He was the supervisor of the People Mover.
The quality assurance manager,
I'll tell you. So did the older man that you met in 1996, did you see that kind? Was he the kind of man who was so tough beyond description during that torture and being so wily and not just one siege of resistance under the Nazis, but then another under the communists? Was that guy still in there, or had he morphed and changed by the time you met him?
He was very tough. Mm-hmm. He also was mellowing in his older age. I'm sure that his children would probably say that. But he was very, very tough. And I'll just tell you one thing. When I met him, he was 69 years old, and he was 19 years older than me. And I can remember we went – he had gotten a little tiny retirement home in Venezuela because he still had friends there. And, of course, he'd lived there for many years.
Because that's where he went first when he escaped from – Czechoslovakia.
So here's this roof, and we get to this house, and he says, "Oh my gosh, the roof is bad, and the place needs to get painted, and oh, there's just so much." All of a sudden, the next thing I know, he's up on the roof, and he's running around, and he's a civil engineer, remember? Mm-hmm. So he's jumping up and down, he's doing all this, and I'm 19 years younger, and I'm exhausted, just watching him. But he was determined. His body, had really suffered a lot from the trials and tribulations that he had gone through.
Yes.
And I think, he had just held so much inside of him for all of his years of work that by the time he retired, his body just started to go. But he had two knees that needed to be replaced and a pretty bad hip. And you'd never know it because he kept pushing forward. He had this great drive to be productive and to accomplish. And he was an inspiration.
Much the same way we see the way he hung on during who knows how much time that he was being tortured by the communists. What do you hope people will understand about Charles Novacek?
Well, Charles had some definite reasons for wanting to publish the book. He wanted people to know about the country of Czechoslovakia because that's not who you usually hear about when you hear about World War II. He wanted people to know there was a Czech resistance, and that the Czech resistance, actually, though they weren't as successful as the French or other resistance groups, the Polish, they did do some very wonderful things. One of them, which was quite controversial but still very, very brave, was the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich, who was a very, very high-level Nazi.
He was very much part of engineering the Final Solution.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So that was, that was the Czech resistance and, of course, their government in exile that were involved in that. Mm-hmm. So he wanted people to know that. But he also, it's almost like a cautionary tale. He's just trying to let people know that freedom is something that, unfortunately, many of us take for granted, and that he found during his lifetime that you can be free and all of a sudden the next day, without really, too much notice, your freedom is taken away. And, a country has occupied your own land. And, he loved America. He lived in this country longer than he ever lived in Czechoslovakia, his homeland. But, he says in the book, he said, I think Americans have a little bit different outlook on freedom than I do. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'd like them to stop and think about it. So I think that's important, And then, of course, the whole thing of when World War II ended, the communists came into the country.
That is going to open a lot of eyes here in America. I mean, not that those of us who grew up through the Cold War had that idea that, things were bad behind what we call the Iron Curtain. Yeah. But to really see it through the eyes of someone who was caught up in that. It's a remarkable story. Border Crossings, Coming of Age in the Czech Resistance. It's won many book awards, including the Midwest Book Awards Gold Medal for Autobiography and Memoir. And you can learn more by going to charlesnovacekbooks.com. That's charlesnovacekbooks.com. And we put a link on our website at michiganradio.org. Senator Novacek, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your husband's remarkable story with us.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.